With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wake up in the morning feeling like
Waterman is extremely well. She's very slippery.
You don't own me.
Okay, now the tough question.
Is this a try? Yes or no?
Just because I'm a woman.
Hello and welcome back, Tryhards.
Hello, everybody. It's nice to have had lots of love over the last week.
It was very nice. I felt very loved. Very warm and fuzzy.
How did your meeting go with your eyes?
Oh, it's not happening, my friend.
On
the website it says from like £1,100 per eye, $4,500
per eye.
No, that was the total they quoted me, $4,500 with an 11% APR on the credit agreement. So it's not happening. Get used to the glasses because they are staying for some time. It's also like an incredibly hard sell. I don't know if I mentioned what proprietor of laser eye surgery it was last week. I won't name it now just so that I don't get any cease and desist letters of a legal nature, but it was a very unpleasant experience, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, that's rubbish. Well, maybe we could do a crowdfunding so I don't have to look at your I'd actually be able to see your eyeballs and they're all full glory, wouldn't
they? Yeah. I wonder if perhaps one of the rival companies like Optolaze would like to sponsor the podcast. I'm just putting it out there. If anyone who listens works for Optolaze, please inform them that I'd be very interested in setting up some sort of agreement between, you know, my eyes and the pod.
All right. Do I have any say in that?
Hey, everyone's eyes get bad eventually. So, you know, I'm thinking about your future, my friend. Your future.
Oh, thanks. Well, they might even use you as a model with your new fitness regime.
Wow.
And those eyes are magnificent in their all of their glory, you know.
Poster
in Cardiff.
I wouldn't like to rule it out, you know, as you say, with my new fitness regime. I've been to a HIIT class this morning. I did promise Craig, the instructor, that I would mention him on the podcast because I told him I hated him in the class. And he said, oh, what are you up to the rest of the day? I said, oh, recording a podcast. I said, I'll give you a mention. And he went, oh,
so,
make sure you do.
Is Craig hot? Was he wearing lycras? Was he wearing shorts, trackies?
He's like 24 or something. Nothing makes me feel older than going to the gym. I don't know why. It just gives me a real like tangible sense of my own age. When you see like it's a real place for youngsters. There's a lot of young PTs, a lot of young people there, and I don't feel young when I'm there. So, but got it done on a Monday, hardest day to get it done as far as I'm concerned. Obviously still achy from my walk on the weekend, but a big thank you to everyone who sponsored me and mum. We raised nearly £500.
Did you?
Yeah, we did. £495 we raised. That
amazing.
Is exclusive of gift aid. So, yeah, we were very proud of ourselves.
That's awesome. But you power walked it, right?
Oh, yeah, we smashed it. We were in this, so that it went out in waves. And we were the first ones in from our wave. So there was a 7:30 and then a 7:50 and then another one. I'm not sure what time that was. But we were the first ones in from the 7:50. Had we been on the 7:30, we would have won it. Not that it was a race. But we would have won. My mum was like, it's not a race. I was like, yeah, but by definition, we are first. So we've won. So yeah, absolutely smashed it. Got a medal.
Yeah. Why are you not wearing it?
It's very heavy. It's very heavy. So it's quite interesting because obviously I did the Shine Marathon 10 years ago and I physically can't even look at the medal because it represents the worst night of my life. Just the most horrendous experience I've ever gone through. Whereas this medal, you know, only 10K, that's my distance. I've worked it out. That's my distance. That's my mileage. So yeah, I feel a lot better about it than I did. Although I will say, and I know you'll understand this because you're somebody who does get a clacky mouth, I was dead parched by the end. I wasn't going to have a wee halfway. You know, I don't use a port-a-loo, so I wasn't going to have a wee. So I didn't have a drink. And at the end, they were giving out malt loaf. Like, of all the things that you don't want, it's a malt, not even a buttered one.
Oh, dry malt loaf.
Dry malt loaf.
Was it the banana one? Do you like that?
No. So I know you and I are both, you know, big fans of Soreen. Again, if anyone who listens works for Soreen, another sponsorship we would be very interested in. The banana one, chef's kiss, delicious. The Halloween special that they've brought out, chocolate orange, again, chef's kiss, delicious.
Oh, I wouldn't like that one.
Oh, it was banging. I've actually got some on the go at the moment in the kitchen. But it was the non-fruited malt loaf. So it's literally just malt loaf. There's no fruit in it. There's nothing to break up.
Oh.
It was like glue. I took a bite. I was chewing it, talking to mum. I couldn't get my teeth apart.
Maybe that's why. Maybe they just want people to shut up. It's late at night and just, well, imagine having the end bit. I mean, if you had a middle bit, you got like a little bit of kind of,
it was the moisture. Individuals. Which, and they're very, I don't know how you just, heely. Did you know that's what they call the end of a loaf of bread in Ireland? The heel. What do you call it?
The crust.
Oh, the crust. Yeah, I call it the crust, actually, not the end. The end or the crust.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, I know 10K is it's impressive and did it through the night, which is awesome. Polly Barnes, who is a wonderful woman, the best side of the Barnes relationship, Wayne Barnes, the other side, referee, Polly, wonderful woman. She actually did the Thames Path Challenge, which is 100 kilometres, and they did it over 2 days. I saw something on her story, Instagram, that said that she had peeled off a blister, which was the size of her heel. Her whole heel was a blister. Ooh. And she carried on walking. Anyone, they were raising money for Headway UK. It was a friend, I think, who I think had a daughter who passed away. A really sad story, but she was supporting her. 100K in 2 days.
I could see. Savage. Well done, Polly.
Yeah. Well unbelievable. Done, Polly. And she's put, honestly, if anyone wants great content, follow Polly Barnes on Twitter. Just Polly Barnes _ at the end. It's brilliant. Like, she's class. She rips into Wayne. She's savage. Forrest the Dean lady and just quality. She said sometimes the smiles will be fake and then just tag the mates that have gone, been doing the walk. Good times. Maybe not so from her.
You've got Suba and Rich up with you this week. I am dying to know if you're going to get out on the paddle boards or has the temperature dropped enough to keep you out of the water?
Not going to lie, it's pretty rainy up here. And we were like checking out, saying, oh, you know, what should we do? We actually managed to have a bit of a dry spell with Koya this morning. So we whizzed her around, took him down to the beach and all that type of stuff. So Rich, the local sites, the metropolis of my little village. And we were looking at the, I was looking at the app to see what the weather was like, and it said 70% rain tomorrow, 80% rain Wednesday, and 100% on Thursday.
Wow. But do you know, I've seen something that means, that doesn't mean, it's like how much rain an area is going to get, or like how much of an area is going to get rain, not the probability of rain. It's the amount of the area that will get rain. I'll dig this out and show it to you.
Yeah, I feel like that it was, I was living in your brain then, because it was very slow motion.
know that that's a struggle. For fractions and percentages are not for me. I really want to give a shout out on the podcast this week to Kyle Reese, who is on the Tuesday Club podcast, but many people who listen...
Oh, you did that, didn't you?
I did do that. Many people will know Kyle from Outlander, the series. And he's also in the film Pride, which is one of my favorite films. But Kyle is a friend of mine. And as I said, he's in the show Outlander with an actor called Sam Hugan, who is like a bit of a heartthrob. I don't watch that program. I didn't really know who he was, but my sister's a massive fan. And Kyle arranged for Sam to do a video message for my sister this week, who is going in to have an operation on Thursday and has been very, very unwell for a couple of months now. And it has just absolutely brightened her up and changed her outlook on the week and changed her day to day. So I just want to say a massive thanks to Kyle and how, you know, Kyle didn't have to do that. He doesn't know my sister. It's no skin off his nose. He could have said, oh, yeah, I'll ask him, and then just said, oh, no, he can't do it. But doing things like that for people just can make such a huge difference. And to my sister, who hasn't really been allowed to leave the house for 11 weeks and has got the worst cabin fever imaginable, that has just massively brightened up her day and her week. So thank you, Kyle.
Oh, that's lush. Yeah,
it is really lush.
Nice Welsh man.
He is a very nice Welsh man. He is. Have you seen the film Pride?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, you should so watch it. It's so good.
Is he the type of like nice guy that you'd get a good hug from, or is he like a nice
Kyle's
guy?
A great hugger. A great hugger, yeah.
Because I think you either get like great huggers, or you know you're gonna just be really cheery when you're around them.
He's a great hugger. I would put him up there as like a top 10 hugger. So hopefully you'll get to meet him one day and give him a hug. Let's move on to work. I know that you were on Prem 15's duty on Saturday. Where were you? What were you up to? What game?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there was a slight change in the schedule. And I was going to be doing Wasps, Gloucester, Hartbury. But because of the change up to the Coventry Stadium, I can't remember what it's called. It's changed, hasn't it?
Oh, has it?
It's Coventry Alliance Building Society or something like that. I'm not quite sure. Yeah. So I did Quinn's Bristol on Saturday, but I flew down early, went and spent some time down in the West Country, had an absolute ball with my very chunky niece, Ava. And I was talking about how solid she was and was like laughing away. And my dad basically shot me down and said, you were bigger. I was like, oh, wow. And I was called Mighty Meaty, Big and Bouncy when I was little. So you can...
Oh my God. You know that I'm now just going to call you that forevermore.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Mighty Meaty, Yellow Raisin Bouncy. That was really fun, just spending time with them, seeing Big Jim and Trish and Dee and Saz, and yeah, like just, it was really cool. And then I unfortunately was traveling back up to my place in Gloucester. So I watched kickoff. I watched to the moment where Marcus Smith went onto the field for Harlequin's men. And it was a bit like, oh, this is slightly cheesy, but it's like Marcus Smith to the rescue. But it actually was Marcus.
The most unbelievable game. So on Friday night, I was doing BBC Radio Wales, and the show was for the Welsh football match that was taking place, Wales Czech Republic, which ended in a 2-2 draw. But I was also watching the rugby quite quietly, or at least had been watching it quite quietly, and was like, every now and again, I'd give like a little commentary line to the people I was working with and be like, oh my word, you know, Bristol 18-0 up here, this is unbelievable. And then things changed. That is one of the best Premiership games I've ever watched. That was phenomenal. It was so good. And you know what, it did make me laugh. You've mentioned Polly Barnes. I reckon that Wayne Barnes picks games based on like proximity to home, and I bet he's like, oh yeah, I'll do the Stoop on Friday because then I'm gonna have a weekend at home, no travel. I reckon his mileage in that game was probably about 3 Premiership games average added together. What a game.
So he actually tweeted, because he said basically support Polly, I normally do 7k and he'd done like nearly 9, I think, in that game. Yeah.
It was amazing, yeah. though.
Yeah, well, like, so I watched the start and then I jumped in the car and got back and watched the end. And yeah, ridiculous.
Does Dom Brandt start for England this autumn for you?
Yeah, I think so. Looking at who they've got available, especially given their first game against, is it Tonga, I think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Or is that Barbarians? Tonga?
No, that's the last. That falls outside the window at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, he was class. It's interesting with, it'll be interesting with selection at 10. You know, Marcus Smith is, you know, crazy good, but it's difficult because when everyone, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about this with the Women's Premiership, but and transferring like club form into England form or international form, you know, players can do that when they've got a lot of experience at international level. So you, if you're playing real well, it, you've got the experience, you're not overwhelmed by the situation, you've been there, you've done it, bam, and you can go in and play it. Sometimes it happens when you've got an amazing club player going into an England shirt or an international shirt in form and it's their first cap and they go and, you know, blitz it and do amazing. You know, Marcus Smith wasn't overawed and he went in and played for the Lions and played amazing in that Lions game. Sometimes actually it's the other way around because people, you know, there is this massive pressure not just to be getting your third, fourth, fifth cap or whatever, first cap or, you know, but also the fact that you're playing this well. So, oh my God, I've got to be this good and I've got to do something amazing and I've got to create. And actually it can't just be what I do at club. It's got to be the next level. And actually there isn't a next level because actually international isn't about amazing, amazing moments all the way through at the 80 minutes. It's actually consistency of basics at a high level under massive pressure. And because you've got speed of thought is that much quicker because the speed of the game is, so it's consistency of basics over that with a sprinkling of magic that comes in at different moments. Do you know what I mean? So it's an
how
interesting
difficult
one.
Is it to manage that expectation as a player as well when you're going from one environment to another and styles of play may be different and the coaches are different and actually your club coach might give you the keys to the kingdom and freedom to play if you're someone like Marcus Smith, but then Eddie Jones might not want him to play like that and he might start him at 10 but he might have a different MO for him. So how difficult is that as a player to manage that kind of expectation?
It is hard, and especially if there's you see it in particular around tactics and around you know, performance. Say someone like George Ford, when England have got a massive dominance up front, he is a wonderful, you know, magical player.
Yeah.
If England can't get that, you know, now and you know, now Leicester have got that, he can perform how he can, you know. So I think, yeah, depending on your position, depending on the unit that you're within, I think it's hard for me to really know what that's like because my whole career I did both from the age of 18 and I also had a coach that coached me at school. So I had Gary Street who, you know, was knew me as a player, and his ethos as a coach actually was a lot about just going and expressing yourself and having fun, which massively married up with who I was. I think I was really fortunate in that sense. So when I went to England, it wasn't a scary environment that I'd never been in because I'd been in it I actually went to England camp before I did a premiership camp so you know I don't know.
Will Marcus Smith be England's 10 in France in 2023?
I think, you know, the magic that he produces on the field, I think it's about producing it on a consistent basis. And I think it's also what nine is going to marry up with him and what centres, you know, because if you've got a certain type of 10 that unlocks games like he does, you will, you know, do you want someone that matches that at 12 and 13, or do you want the polar opposite with someone that can carry hard? And do you know what I mean? And I think the 9-10 combination is a fascinating one. And he couldn't have had it any better, really, having Danny Kerr. You know, Danny Kerr is playing some of his best rugby, and the way that he lights up the game and actually controls it from a nine position for years has helped out Marcus Smith at 10. You know, he's got Oosterhuizen now at 12, who is just an absolute battering ram, picks up crap everywhere from, you know, do you know what I mean? And then 13, oh, what's his name? Went to New Zealand. I can't believe I've forgotten his name. Wonderful player, like, and really, like, has so much flair and so much skill, just like Marcus. I think what's actually interesting about, I'm kind of going all over the place here, but if you actually then look back at the Harlequins women's get team, you know, so Harlequins men absolutely blitzed Bristol, like, amazing in this ridiculous form. Bristol were struggling. Harlequins women are mirroring Bristol men, actually, because they champions last year, really struggling to find their form. And actually, you've got young players in that team that were surrounded by experience. So someone like Ellie Green, for instance, who's on the bench at the moment, has over years been a starting 10 for Harlequin. She was starting at 18 years old. She's a wonderful talent, but she also had Leanne Riley at 9 and Rachel Burford at 12. So she was sandwiched between two of the most experienced players in those positions. So it takes a massive amount of pressure off, just like Marcus Smith was, you know. So it really helps. You take Rachel Burford out of the equation, take Leanne Riley out of the equation, it is a very different position. She's not performing. They put Emily Scott in at 10, you know, playing some brilliant rugby. But they are a totally different side without that experience there. And, you know, Leanne has been named in the England squad. She's obviously with the Bristol girls. But that game on Saturday, it had just like on the Friday night, it had the potential to be this unbelievable game. And then on the Saturday, I was like, it's got the potential to be amazing, but it might go horribly wrong. Oh my God, it was genuinely the most exciting game I've ever commentated on.
Okay, before we talk about that game, I want to pick up on something else from the Quinn's men's game. So Louis Leiner is basically just writing records on a weekly basis at the moment, can't stop scoring, just looks like he has the most fun out there. Do you think he's ready for England duties? Do you think that, you know, obviously he can play for England, Australia, Italy, if he goes England this autumn, and you can see perhaps Eddie Jones trying to be the typical Eddie Jones and picking him in his squad and perhaps saving him for the 13th of November when Australia come to Twickenham and using him to break Australian hearts in the stadium that his father broke English hearts in 1991 when he won the World Cup. So there's a certain amount of poetic storytelling there. It almost feels a bit of a kind of Hollywood story. Do you think that he's ready for international honours?
Yeah, I think the thing is with England is they've actually got some amazing young talent on the wing. I think where they need to sort it out, and they haven't for so long, is what's happening at 12 and 13. You know, they're putting Daly, Slade, Farrell, like George Ward. Like, there's, for years, England hasn't had, apart from Manu Tuilagi, an out-and-out 12 that is the guaranteed, stamped on, this is who we want, apart from Owen Farrell, obviously. But it was kind of like he was there because George Ford was performing, and if George Ford wasn't performing, Owen Farrell would go back to 10. And I think actually, and I know I'm not really necessarily answering your question, but you can have unbelievable outside backs, but if you haven't got that 10, 12, 13 in there, you know, rocking it, then they can keep changing these wingers and they can keep changing. But I don't know, that's where I would say it's going to be interesting for me in the autumn. But
for that reason, do you think this squad selection by England, we're going to see omissions? We're going to see people not picked who
George Ford hasn't been picked. He's not in the squad. So being the men's training, well, there was a training squad a couple of weeks ago. I was just trying to find it so I could see who was in it. But Manu was there, you know, he's looking unbelievable. But is he robust enough? Is he going to stay there? Then you've got Ollie Lawrence back in the mix. You know, he's somebody performing at Worcester, brought in, then kind of dumped. You got Max Malins, he's gone back to Saris. He's like, do you know what I mean? Like, there is a lot of players that Eddie has been toying with. And I think this is the autumn where he can really start to look at combinations. But you can't, there won't, I don't think there will be massive amount of combinations through the games. He'll go with one and then make a few changes, because if you put in a different side for three different, those test matches, they are going to get absolutely annihilated, because yeah. Australia are in ridiculous form, and well, and then you've got South Africa as well.
Is that the issue for someone like Eddie Jones, that when it comes to an autumn series, we're talking about building to a World Cup cycle, but how much building can you do and how much testing out can you do when you're going to play South Africa and Australia on consecutive weekends?
Well, I think, you know, they've got their fear first loss week.
Greater than the trying to improve and find your team.
No, I think, you know, in the summer when they played, the boys played America and Canada, there were players that really put their hand up. Real shame that Joe Thaugnessinger got injured. I think either in the first game, I think in a pre-season game, I don't know, or maybe the first game of the season, I don't know whether he started it, but he was on ridiculous form in those games. So I think, you know, there were, I can't even remember how many new caps in that, in the, but a lot of them have come into this new squad. And actually, they've gone through the first caps, they've gone through the big camps together, and they've just added back some senior players now with the Lions guys coming back in again. I actually think he's got a brilliant blend of players in there. I think it's just going to be really interesting to see which combinations that he thinks works well together. You know, someone like Dan Robson, does that, someone like Dan work really well with Marcus Smith? Well, we didn't see it because Dan was on the bench. So, you know, then you've got someone like Harry Randall, who's a proper live wire. Rafi Quirk, who I think is going to be amazing.
Harry Randall look on Friday night, by the way. Like, I've interviewed Harry a couple of times, like when Bristol were in the championship, actually. And he was so young then. In my head, I was like, he's going to fill out. He's got smaller, I swear. He's so small. He's so small. But
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You know, a great advert. Okay, let's talk about that women's game on Saturday. We've gone from one Quinns Bristol, that Quinns came out on top. Bristol Bears, top of the log, were going to the champions. Did you foresee that game being what it turned out to be?
No. But I think someone tweeted it, or someone said about it in an interview. Bristol women only won four games last year, and they have gone five back to back with 5 points. And so they are at the top of the tree, having won more games than they did. There was a, you know, I commentated on the, and we talked about it last week on the pod, when they played Gloucester Hartbury away and they got the win, and there were bits of their performance that were really sluggish, and they, you know, they're like, you thought they didn't quite get going. Thought, are they going to pull it out the bag against Quinns? It was an amazing game. And you know, the defence from both sides, the double hits that were going in were absolutely like, oh my God, like it was brutal. But the difference between the sides was the set piece. Harlequins were completely taken apart. I have never seen a Quinns team basically perform as badly. And that's not, in any disrespect to the players, they just did not get it right on the day, and they've been not getting it right for however many weeks. And I don't think, you know, I talked about different players when during the game and the fact that they've not got Abby Ward, massive loss at the line out for Harlequins, massive gain for Bristol Bears. Lo and behold, Bristol Bears are doing a brilliant job at set piece with her in line out. And then, you know, you've got Leanne Riley, who controls affairs around it. And she's gone to Bristol. She's not playing at the moment, but, you know, but their forwards, you know, I haven't even thought about it, and I didn't talk about it in comms, but I have reflected on it since, that Karen Finley, Jock, who has coached Quins for however many years since the inception of Harlequins women, has gone.
Yeah.
And they've got a new guy in, Simeone Barnes. Simeone is Simeone's nickname. It is Simeone. In the end. Anyway, Mr. Barnes is the new forwards coach. And look, I've never met him. I don't know whether the girls are getting on with him, but at the moment, they are having a shocker up in the forwards. And actually, every time I played Harlequins, no matter what backline we put, no matter what we could do, we could never match them up front in any team I played with. And it was their weakness on Saturday, which was a shock. You know, there was a class try. And it's difficult because I'm saying this about international players. You know, they've got world-class players. Amy Cocaine, you know, in my opinion, you know, on her day, is the best hooker in the world. But yet, the amount of overthrows, the amount of stuff that was going on, was just, yeah, mad.
How worried does that make you, Thor, the visit of the Black Ferns, when a team like Quins that have so many England internationals are struggling up front like that?
Look, I think there was a slight worry with England up front in the Six Nations. You know, Burner wasn't there, she was out injured, but they got motored back at times against the French. And they've got a new forwards coach to come in. And I can't remember his name, but I won't try and attempt it 53 times. I think what was noticeable about the weekend wasn't necessarily around the park. They were amazing. At set piece, you know, it was kind of toing and froing between penalties at scrum time. And the line out, I think, you know, you don't go bad overnight. You don't make those errors because all of a sudden you're a rubbish player. That's a unit thing. You know, that is a timing thing. It's a coordination. It's a working together. So when they go into England, are they going to have changed the lineouts from their last half minutes? Probably not. So I don't think they're going to be as bad. But yeah, I mean, if you looked at that performance, I know that those girls won't want that to have been the performance that they have as the last game now. You know, there's no club fixtures now until the 27th of November. And the Bristol Bears girls are like, buzzing. I spoke to Sarah Byrne, player of the match, you know, scored the most, well, set up the most ridiculous try. She said, I said, mate, we couldn't really see from the camera. Were you smiling at Ellie Kildun when you made a line break? And she said, yeah. I was like, come on then.
So what's 27s? Byrne might have put it on the back burner, but let's be honest, she wants to buy that sevens apple.
I've said to you before, I remember having a conversation with her where she was quite upset that she wasn't going to become an Olympian. I think she's trying to prove me wrong by, you know, she was insane. But and the other person that, you know, it was funny because I think it was Ben Kay was basically saying, like, listing off so many different people for player of the match on Friday night. I literally, and they were like, messing about with me, and I could have given it to so many different people, and I will move on from this. But Amber Reid, some of her pass selection was sublime. Putting and it links on to, you know, Jazz Joyce's tries were ridiculous. But the timing of the pass, it wasn't defended that well on the edge by Quins. You know, they were offering her a corner, but there was no break in stride from the wingers. It was literally the perfect ball that you want from a centre. So for her, for Berna, going into the game, you know, going into the autumns, flying high.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the other people.
Sorry, I want to just pick up on that and say that obviously there's what, 10 Welsh girls involved at Bristol, and you know, Bristol top of the log. Let's hope that they can bring that into Welsh camp. Now, we know that they've had a torrid time of it with the change of coach. We know that there's an interim coaching setup, and actually it probably feeds into what you were saying with Simeon Barnes. We don't know him, know a huge amount about his coaching history, but I find it really interesting. Dave Ward's obviously got a huge amount of buy into the women's game and has got Bristol firing on all cylinders. It'll be interesting to see what happens now when these girls go back into Wales camp. They've got this interim coaching setup who, again, are not women's rugby coaches. And I mean that in all due respect to Joanne and Geraint, lovely, lovely blokes, great coaches at 20s and what Joanne did with Scarlets. But it's really interesting to see if this is going to be another round pegs, square holes situation for the Welsh coaching setup.
You know what? I'm fascinated that the WRU do this, because it's like Groundhog Day. And I'm saying this as someone that has watched, you know, a lot of failings within the Welsh setup from the women's point of view. I've played alongside a lot of those Welsh girls, you know, and so I know how talented they are. And one of the England girls said to me at the weekend, it's amazing what the Welsh players can do when they've got a coach that they understand and respects them and can get at how they can perform, right? And I think it had me thinking about, you know, everyone always asks me, is it different to coach women? And I always kind of say, well, yes and no, because yes, no, they're just people, you know, we're just people, yeah. It's just rugby. But actually, yes, you know, at the top level, we play the game very, very differently, and we have different skill sets because we can't kick the ball as far as the men. We don't play like the men, but you know, it's a different defensive structures. And actually, I think the most successful teams don't try and coach women like small men. They coach them like women, and they coach them like the skill sets in there. Now, that said, some coaches have come over and been very successful in the women's game because they've looked at the skill sets, and regardless of gender, they've gone, well, this player can do this, let's play like that, you know? But it is interesting how it's so common for women and female coaches to be told they don't have the experience in the men's game to go and coach. They don't, but yet men that have never coached at Premiership, that have never been at international level, can come over and coach at the top level in the women's game. So why, you know, we'll play, you know, so it's fascinating. And I do believe you have to have got experience working with women to know the dynamic. I think the off-field dynamic is massively different because of the nature within the programs. You're working with semi-professional, professional people. You've got two caps and they're trying to balance all sorts of stuff. You've got just a general game time. So women that have come into the game at a later age, so their game understanding, their tactical analysis, all sorts of things are different off the field. And if you haven't experienced that, or if you've never been around it, and I think the benefit that Dave has, you know, he was at Oldfield with all of us in Bath at college. You know, he has known women's rugby players since he was 16 years old, probably even before that. And so he's always understood, always got on with us. His wife is an international player. He's watched her play for however many years. He's been around the female game, understands the dynamic. And I think that that's where there are major problems. And my concern with Wales, again, I don't know them as coaches. I don't even know the guys, but irrelevant of what they do on the field, whether they've got knowledge of the female game or not, how they're going to manage probably one of the most fragile times in Welsh history because of the severity of everything that's happened with the senior players from previous years putting in a report asking for, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just,
and you know what I have to say, like, I last week was lucky enough to do the press conference after the squad announcement, and I spoke to Ewan Cunningham and spoke to Shuey, and there is a real, from a coaching perspective, you know, those guys who are involved now were not involved in what had come before. They weren't involved in that last regime with Warren Abrams. And I kind of asked Ewan about it, and he said it's about kind of wiping the slate clean. Those are the words that Siobhan used as well, and going back to basics. Now, I found that a really interesting turn of phrase in that I looked this morning because of a piece I'm doing for Scrum 5 about how many Welsh girls were involved across the weekend in Premiership games, and how many of those girls were on the winning side in Premiership games, and who'd played well and stuff like that. And they're now being stripped back to basics, like they are very amateur, new to the game players. When in reality, these coaches have got at their disposal some really incredibly talented players. You know, the way that the girls who are in the Gloucester front row of scrummage this year, you know, that's not something that Wales have enjoyed in the past few years. And then you've got Jazz, who is lighting up headlines and everyone's talking about Kira Bevan, who on a day is, you know, the form nine in the league, but they're being stripped back to basics. And I found that quite a worrying turn of phrase.
Can I just say, I need to give a shout out. Alicia Butchers, unbelievable game. She was outstanding. Courtney Keat on the wing. You know, their basics, their two-on-ones, the way that they were playing, their work rate. Alicia Butchers' work rate. Jesus Christ. And is it Manon? Yeah, Manon Jones. So I got told off by Amber because she said it's not Jones. And I was like, oh, yeah. But like turnovers galore, like she was class. So I think, yeah, just wanted to give them a little shout out.
I think, you know, the girls are really presented with an opportunity in that they've got Japan first up, and Japan will be a very busy team, and we know what they bring, but it's not like playing England or France first up. And let's hope, you know, the Six Nations broke hearts in that camp and broke hearts outside of it when you see your captain crying because of how torrid that had been. And I just really hope that things can be a bit different for them this autumn. Before we move on from Premier 15s, we have to give a shout out to Sonic. 300 performances at Saracens. It's actually opened a really interesting conversation on social media today, though, about the records that have been kept by clubs, by leagues, for these players. Because I know that Casey Allen actually thinks that Purdy's probably over and above that figure. And there are other women who've played across.
Purdy's retired about five times.
I know. She has played 700 times for Wasps. Once a Wasp, always a Wasp. I actually think that Purdy probably says that as much as she says her son's name on a daily basis. Like, it, if she turned around and said, oh, I've actually got it tattooed across my heart, I wouldn't be surprised.
Wait, you know, she was a celeb that opened the new grant, new training, the new 4G thing down there.
Was she?
Yeah, did cut the ribbon. I was like, shut the front door.
But I bet she turned up and she was like, if it's not yellow and black, I'm not cutting it.
She's wearing her blazer. Loves the blazer. I will say, Sonic, you know, fair play to her. She's, I think, deputy head at a school. She has battled, like, playing, probably seen one of the worst bone breaks of her lower leg, like shattered it into pieces, wore a cage on her leg for years. That was in Samurai Sevens years ago, and then came back, didn't really come back into the Sevens fold, but stayed at 15s and just always solid. You know, she's a year older than me, I think, and just rough. And actually, as always, like, she played in the back row, and that's in recent years has played in the second row. I'm like, you're literally moving to like a hard position, mate. Like, it's getting worse as you're getting older. Like, what are you doing? But so I first met Sonic when I was 17, and we set up for, it was like they did national sevens back then, and it was amazing because all the Premiership sides put in teams, and we just finished our first year at college. Anyway, England Academy, or it might have been the second year of college, I'm not sure, but there was the second year, sorry, because England Academy and England A had put together a squad and they were traveling over to South Africa, but it was during A-level exams, and I was like, I was the only one out of the girls that went to Oldfield, was like, I actually want to get my results. So I stayed, I didn't tour, even though I'd been captain, I didn't tour, and so I could do my A-levels. So we pulled in some extra girls because obviously we had some like Claire Allen, and I think Berth went on the tour and stuff. So we pulled in players for our Oldfield. I don't know why, how we managed to get in a team in National Sevens because we were just an academy at 17 years old.
It's like the rugby Centrinians.
Yeah, well, we called ourselves the Jelly Babies. So we had the Jelly Babies, and it was like Jelly Babies against Wasps. And I remember, And she was insane. Like, she was absolutely brilliant because she's just typical back rower, so fit, like one of the fittest people I know, like ripped up, she's quality, just running around, going wild. But yeah, the all of the senior girls, that like all the England seniors that weren't touring South Africa, they were still there playing. Were literally like, who are these little rat bags that are playing in these jelly baby shirts? And I needed to buy the shirt. And Jenny, where do you reckon I got them from? Because I didn't think about getting them from a sports shop. I went in to M&S men's section and I got M&S.
What, and bought like men's rugby shirts in Marks and Spencer's?
Men's rugby shirts. I've still got mine. And I think it's mine. And I had the girls, and it was the first time I'm
definitely
ever.
Like the Jelly Babies theme night on someone's endo.
I had no-nos. It was the first time that we'd had names on the back of our shirts, and I had no-nos.
Oh God, that's so funny. I'm definitely feeling like a jelly baby. We're dressing you as a jelly baby at some point in a hen do in the next few months. Okay. That's going in my little hen notebook. Any other business from Prem 15s last weekend? Anything else? Wasps played at the, not the Rico. Great visibility. Great to have a double header. Love listening to Sarah Orchard on the radio. Friend of the pod who said she'd missed us.
Oh, I know. Well, to be fair, I messaged Harriet Miller-Mills. I was like, oh, mate, how was it yesterday? She just basically put, really fun, massive pitch, so I'm knackered today. Oh, love it.
What, is the pitch at Twyford Avenue like half the size or something?
Well, I think so. It's like playing on a postage stamp. It's not. but yeah, the Rico, the Coventry place is massive.
This season, we are not allowed to call that place by its actual name at any point. Call it not the Rico or that Coventry place.
But like you say, yeah, great visibility, and by the sound of things, quite a few people stayed behind. Nick Mullins put out a really lovely tweet saying it was with a photograph of the crowd, saying it was really cool to see, and is this the future, seeing double headers, and it would be brilliant to you know, to commentate on them. So yeah, just talking about commentary actually, after our little shout out to Claire Thomas last week, got to work with her at Pitchside this week. Aww. And we were chatting afterwards and about commentating, and it actually got me to reflect actually after we'd recorded the pod about, you know, who had been there before me. You know, yes, I might be the first to do some senior games or what, like the actual games I'm covering, but there's always been at least one woman before me in everything that I've done, whether that be, you know, athlete mentor work. There was Susie Appleby, which I did, and then, you know, commentary in particular for me, it was Daisy, Sue Day, 15s, I met probably mainly in sevens. And actually I asked Claire, I said, you know, for you, who is it that you kind of look up to, and you know, who is there? And basically it is just that, you know, it realized that in this country there is only one woman doing lead commentary. And I think the way that you spoke about it last week, about saying, you know, it is a ridiculously hard role, and it is, as you know, people have asked me, would I be interested in doing it? And I'm like, no way. One, my language isn't good enough. And two, I analyse and go off on tangents, which I don't think is helpful when you're trying to explain.
As I said last week, I think the big thing with it isn't just applicable to lead comms, though that's where I absolutely take my hat off to Claire. But this is where I think Claire, lots of young women can look at Claire as an inspiration, because I do think as a woman, it's very hard to come out and say you want to do something that goes against the grain. It's very difficult to feel like you can be the first, that you can be doing something that you can't see other people doing. You know, yes, Sarah's doing it, and she's been out on her own doing that for so long.
But that's what I mean. But that's my point.
It applies to everything. You know, as women, I hope that girls look at Claire and think it might not be commentating on rugby, but it might be something in school that, you know, no female pupil has had an opportunity to do previously, but they've decided it's something they want to put their hand up for. And I think she should really serve as an inspiration because she's so young as well.
Yeah, but my point is, there is somebody, so that, like, there is some one person, you know, from my coaching perspective. You know, when I first, my first World Cup that I went to, in fact, you know, I got capped under male coaches, but then when I went back into the squad, and in the First World Cup, Giselle was my coach. And so actually, when I look back, as much as I feel like, you know, when people, I've always had a female role model. I've always had, at, you know, one person, and that one person, actually all of them are now amazing friends of mine. And they are people that I hugely respect, but just them doing it has gone, given me the kind of the green light. Like, well, if they're doing it, like, oh, I can give it a go. And actually it's just, you know, I just feel like a lot of people from within women's sport often don't get, or within the game, often don't get the credibility. So someone like Sarah has been around for so long, actually it's just kind of normal that she's there, but she is there. And I think that that's what's important for all of them. And Koya agrees.
Koya loves female role model. I don't know if I've ever told you this on the pod before, but the first time I ever met Sarah was a England autumn game, England women's autumn game at the Stoop. And she was commentating on Five Live, and I met her in the press room, and she was 8.5 months pregnant. And I was terrified. It was the first time I'd done pitch side on an international match, and I was absolutely terrified of doing it. And I can remember thinking, why are you worried about doing this? This woman's about to commentate on the match, and she's also going to have a baby in like 2 weeks' time. And that's where...
Slash 2 minutes.
Yeah, literally. I was like, this is just, you know, I felt more ready to deliver a baby than to ask questions pitched right at that game. But she blew my mind that day. And yeah, that's where female role models are so important, because it is seeing yourself in somebody else and seeing that relatability, visibility thing. So yeah, I think we should dedicate this podcast to Sarah Orchard and what she's done and the others around us have done to make us feel like we can do a podcast like this.
Wow, we've never done a dedication.
Well, I'm doing
so
it.
So we've gone from asking for sponsorship to dedicating.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Yeah. Hopefully Sarah also likes soaring.
Yeah,
because we'll talk about that as well.
This podcast is not officially sponsored by it yet, but it will be. Okay, guys, we'll see you next. Well, you'll hear us next week.
Bye.